So welcome everybody to the United Road podcast. We've been long-term United fans, all four of us, and we want to bring to you the resurgence of this club and our take on it. And we would love for you to get involved with it as well. In what is a very exciting time for the club and its fans, and it is important for us that we take this journey more than for everybody else, even just for ourselves. So we're going to get started with introductions. My name is Nimai Trivedi. I'm a United fan for the last 15 years or so. And I'm really excited about discussing all things United with you. And we're going to go around the table and get an introduction from everybody else and see what they have to say. You can get a feel for what we're all about. And how this is going to go. So we'll move to the next person, Rushabh Shah.
Hey everyone, my name is Rushabh Shah. Thanks, Nimai. I'm currently calling in from sunny Barcelona. I'm currently sporting the 99 Champions League treble winning kit. And right after this, I'll be heading to the Camp Nou. So exciting times ahead. I am looking forward to being on the podcast with everyone.
That is wonderful, Rushabh. United have had an excellent history with Camp Nou. Only recently we've had a good result over there, and it's fabulous that you're going there. It's good for you, Rushabh. We move on to Advait next.
Hi guys, my name is Advait Trivedi, and I've been a Manchester United fan since I was 6. The last time we won the league, I was just 11 or 12 years old and did not understand the nitty-gritties of the game. Since then, I believe this is the best time to be a United fan because we are finally playing a sustainable brand of football with a very young core, and I want to be able to share this journey with you all.
That's fantastic, Advait. We're looking forward to having you as well. And then we'll move on to our final team member for today, our final panelist, Zahan.
So I am Zahan Bafna. I'm probably the youngest one here. And unlike most of y'all, I didn't get to live through most of Manchester United's glory days. So for me, this is probably the most exciting time being a fan of Manchester United. And in the last 7-8 years, I can count on a hand the amount of Manchester United games I've missed. And I've been watching us and football since I could walk in talk.
That's wonderful, Zahan. You know, it's very exciting, especially for you, to be able to see United lift silverware only last week. And I hope that, you get the opportunity that we got to see United lift the double and the Champions League and so forth. And we're going to dive deep into what the journey's been like. And there's no better place to start than Ten Hag, for us. So the first question I want to ask you guys is, what is different between Ten Hag and the managers that have gone by? We've had multiple managers, very high-profile managers that have come to the club, spent billions of dollars, made a lot of change, had a lot of legacy before they came to the club. But Ten Hag comes in and it finally looks like the fans are believing. So what do you think has changed? We'll start with Rushabh over here.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One, from I think Ten Hag has dealt with every obstacle thrown his way, and there have been so many of them in just this first 6 months in the perfect way possible. So he dealt with the Ronaldo situation. He's dealt with just the toxic environment at the club, and for whatever reason, with the older managers, that wasn't happening. Jose obviously is like perennial winner, but also always ends up having problems with the environment and stuff like that. Van Gaal was lauded as this great man manager, but there were the dressing room was split on him. Obviously, Moyes started off on the bad foot when he said that we need to be like Liverpool and City. So I feel like Ten Hag is just getting it right with the press and getting it right with man management better than the older people. And I think the second thing is transfers and talent identification. I think he's picked the right players. And when was the last time we could say that every player we bought in the summer window has been an unequivocal success? Maybe the jury's out on Antony, but other than that, everyone, unequivocal success. And I can't remember the last time we could have said that. So yeah,
I think that's a great point you make, Rushabh. I think recruitment has been a huge part of United's success. We've had Lisandro, Casemiro, Antony, even the loanies that have come in have been fit right into the system. And it's such an important part of a manager's journey to get these things right, to get the fans on their side. And I'm going to move on to Advait just in terms of recruitment over here. Ten Hag has, he's really known in Ajax, since his Ajax days to be a very efficient manager in terms of how he goes about his business. How do you think he's brought that efficiency to the club, and why do you think we needed it in the first place?
I think what Ten Hag is doing different is that he's solving problems we've had with the last three high-profile managers at the club. LVG was accused of being too confrontational and critical of his players in the press and on the training pitch. Jose was accused of creating a toxic environment at the club, and players stopped feeling a sense of belonging. He wasn't playing football the United way, where we play direct football on the front foot from minute one. Ole was accused of favouritism and being stubborn while picking his team, and towards the end of his tenure, there was a complete lack of connection between the players and the fans. In comes Eric, and he has prioritised connecting the fans and the players again. He's honest in the media about the players' performances, but always supportive of them. He's got us playing fast, direct football once again, and we are scoring goals for fun, while being solid at the back. And most importantly, he's brought in a system of meritocracy. Players now have to earn their spots at United. Casemiro was probably the best CDM in the world coming to United. He won a UCL. And he was on the bench because Scott McTominay was thriving till the 6-3 hammering at City. Lisandro was excellent till the World Cup, won the World Cup, and had to come back to the club and earn a spot. A big reason for all of this is that player power has prevailed at United for far too long, and he's come in and made it clear that he's the one who's going to be calling the shots. He penalised our most informed player for being late to a team meeting and dropped him from the 11, Marcus Rashford. He had no hesitation in dropping the club captain for the benefit of the team, Harry Maguire. He had no qualms in isolating one of the greatest football players ever in Cristiano because of his behaviour off the pitch and dismal contributions on it. He's efficient because he sticks to his methods. He does not care what the outside world has to say about him and prioritises just what's best for United.
No, I think that's a very fair point, Advait. I think Ten Hag's off-the-pitch approach has been absolutely tremendous. We've not had such an imposing figure at the club for a long time. But beyond just his off-the-pitch stuff, which includes pressers, which includes his handling of the Ronaldo situation, including how he sort of brought the fans back on our side, we'll touch upon in more detail a little later. I want to now ask Zahan, what has really changed on the pitch? There's been a marked shift in the kind of football we play, but it's very difficult to pinpoint what really has changed. So for our listeners, it's really important for us to be able to outline what a tactical genius Ten Hag is and why he really is one of the elite managers in the world. So what do you think has changed on the pitch, Zahan, from the past?
So in the past, we've looked at extremely tactically good managers like Jose Mourinho. We've seen managers who have been criticized for their tactical approach in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And we look at Ten Hag, he has a very staunch tactical approach that he looks to take for games, and he doesn't let press, outside media or anything stop him from carrying out his game plan. Another thing I'd like to point out is his coach signings. We look at Michel van der Gaag with his statistical approach. We look at his signing of Benny McCarthy and what he has done for Rashford's game. And we see that Ten Hag has a plan tactically, and he's not going to compromise on his plan for short-term success. He's not going to compromise on this plan of how we play football on the pitch for anything. We see a signing of Lisandro Martinez at centre-back, who was called out by analysts and pundits such as Jamie Carragher. And we've seen what Lisandro has done for United's defence. And even Anthony signing, if you look at what Anthony does on the right, it allows United to play the kind of football we do. So there's a very direct tactical approach that Ten Hag wants to take. And he's going to make the signings he believes is perfect for his approach. And another thing I believe Ten Hag has created is a culture at Man United where we win football games. He's connected the fans. And more than that, he's holding the players accountable for being part of this culture. We look at where he dropped Rashford for simply being 15 minutes late to a training session. We saw him take Ronaldo out of the squad for complaining about what's happening and not performing. So we see that he's not afraid to take difficult and controversial decisions in order to carry out his plan.
Adding to that, with the in-game management and like what's changing on the field, because a lot of these players are the same players. It's not like the whole squad has been overhauled. All these players are the players that Ragnik had, and like the football was so just painful to watch. Like a lot of these players, and Ten Hag is putting them in the right roles, like what Zahan was saying about Antony. The like maybe the goals and assists aren't coming, but what Antony offers on that right wing is something we haven't had for so long. And he's putting the players in the right roles. He's putting Fred in a more attacking role, and Fred has what, more goals than Chelsea in how many ever months? So like he's putting players who were lackluster before, putting them in their right roles, giving them very, you know, specific tasks. And I feel that is what's making a big difference on the pitch, as well as the in-game management. Like Adam Ambasaka, halftime, Carabao Cup finals, just one example. Substitutions, Ten Hag has been top. Would we have the most goals from substitutes than anyone in the big five, top five leagues? So I think in-game management has also been big for on the pitch.
No, I think that's a fabulous, fabulous point, Rushabh. And I think, you know, that brings me to a quote of Ralf Rangnick last season when we were in Anfield. And we got an absolute pasting over there. And he said that this United team is 6 years behind the Liverpool team. And then 1 year on, we're now at Anfield. It's almost impossible for me to believe that I'm saying this, but I think we go in marginal favourites for this game. We haven't won there for over 10 years. We've only scored one goal at Anfield in the last eight. And the last win really came in the Louis van Gaal era. So, you know, it's been a remarkable turnaround. I want to go to Advez really quickly to ask him, you know, the win, you know, Ralf Rangnick said that the entire 11 need to really change for United for us to really start competing. And in comes Ten Hag. And all of a sudden, you see folks like Fred. You see guys like Diego Dalot, Van Bissaka, Luke Shaw, Marcus Rashford, Rafael Varane, all these guys who've been part of a terrible, terrible season, you know, having extraordinary seasons. So what do you think has really changed, and who do you sort of associate this success to?
A lot of what Ralf said was to save his own skin. He wanted to deflect the blame from the mess that him and his coaching staff were causing at Old Trafford, and wanted to convince the fans that these players are simply not good enough. In comes Eric, and from the first press conference is of the opinion that this is a very good squad consisting of very good players. It's just important how you use them. Now for instance, if you see Fred as a lone CDM or a lone 6, he's not going to be able to play well because he tends to get dribbled past really often. Ten Hag uses him in an advanced role where he's pressing opposition CDMs and CBs, and you can see how effective he is. The realization that we needed a left-footed centre-back for better ball distribution from the back, and to play Shaw there instead of playing a right-footed centre-back in Maguire or Lindelof there, is just another example of how he perfectly realizes the strengths of each player and brings out sides of them that even they were not aware they had. Besides the tactical point of view, speaking from a more emotional point of view, I'd like to cite the example of how he's handled the questions about fixture congestion. We have had Ole and Jose complain about the way fixtures were scheduled and that directly impacts the players' mood. Ten Hag, on the other hand, just speaks about how United should be playing so many games on the regular and these deep cup runs should be a mere expectation. He hasn't complained about it, but instead said that it's time to enjoy it. The positive energy rubs off on the players and they are finally understanding what it means to play for a club as big as United. Varane is a serial winner, but he was coached by Ole, who was, to say generously, tactically incompetent, and there was no hunger among the players to win. Now when he's got a Tiger in Licha next to him and a whole squad of players playing every game like it's a bloody final, you can see he's bringing out the best in him too. We've missed leadership at the club for so long, and now we have Bruno, Casemiro, Varane, Shaw, Licha who are guiding the team, and it's just beautiful.
No, I think those are fantastic points, Advaith. And just for the reference of our listeners, when Advaith says Duck, he's referring to James Ducker of The Telegraph. He's a Manchester United correspondent over there. If you want to give him a follow, he is a tier zero journalist for Manchester United. And I want to give Zahan the opportunity to touch upon or sort of expand upon something that Advaith touched upon, which is fixture congestion. But at the same time, Ten Hag has a 73%, he's got a 73% win ratio at the club, which is quite extraordinary for the amount of games that we've played. So, and we also saw a clip of Steve McLaren at the end of the West Ham game coming to Ten Hag and pointing at him, saying, you know, we could probably understand it as a reference to the winning mentality. So, Zahan, what do you think, if you can just touch upon the winning mentality and what an extraordinary turnaround it has been in terms of how players view each and every game at the football club.
drop in our performances when Casemiro is not there. Obviously, so the other person I was considering was Lisandro Martinez, and it's not his fault that his replacement is not as big a drop as, you know, Scott McTominay is from Casemiro. Like, Maguire, Lindelof are able deputies for Lisandro. But because of how our squad is and because of how much of an impact Casemiro has made, obviously the one big difference between the two games that we lost at the start of the season and the rest has been Casemiro coming in place of McTominay. So I think that has made the big difference. But I think Licha is a close second in terms of catalysts.
I think you've taken the one that I think everybody wanted to take in Casemiro, except for Dweth, who I know is a massive Lisandro fan. And I'll move to him next, you know, in terms of who do you think has been your player of the season and why is it Lisandro?
You've already let my secret out, but I think the best player of the season has been Lisandro Martinez. I will talk about three aspects here. One is in possession, one is out of possession, and the third is his lion-hearted personality. In possession, Licha averages nearly 5 progressive passes per game, and I genuinely believe he's in the upper echelon of ball-playing CVs in the world. He's so technically blessed and so important for United to transition from defence to attack. A left-footed centre-back is just so important to get the ball upfield, and you can see that Licha has been our first good left-footed centre-back for a long time. The last one we had was Marcos Rojo, and well, he was Marcos Rojo. Antony's winner versus Barcelona starts from a Licha long ball to Shaw from deep. Versus Leeds, he comes on as a substitute and we are moving the ball around so much better. And it's his long ball to Marcel Sabitzer that starts the attack for Rashford's opener to break the deadlock. Out of possession, Licha has been the best centre-half in the Premier League this season, no doubts. There was so much spoken about his height, and here he's answering all his critics. And this weekend, we have Graeme Souness and Jamie Carragher holding their hands up and saying, "We were wrong, this boy is special." There is so much spoken about the violent side of Licha's game, but he's actually so intelligent, and the best part about his off-ball contributions is he knows exactly when to put in the challenge and when to jockey the player to the touchline. And that's what makes it so difficult to play against him. He's given forwards of Haaland and Kane's quality a real problem, because he gives them absolutely no time to think and closes them down so quickly. In terms of personality, Lisandro is just a tiger. And when I saw him put his face to block a shot when he has stitches around his head, I knew he was that guy. Lisandro is bloody dynamite, and he's going to be immense for us for years to come. And I, for one, cannot wait for him.
No, thank you for that. I think Licha has been absolutely outstanding. You know, his partnership along with Rafa Varane has been you know, one of the standouts of the season, and I firmly believe that they're the best centre-back pairing in the Premier League at the moment. Perfect. I'll move on to Zahan now. There aren't that many top folks left except for one very clear name, and I think I'm going to allow you to take that one, Zahan. Please go ahead. Who do you think is United's player of the season in your opinion?
So I'm going to go for someone I don't think you'd expect me to say. While Rashford is in red hot form and what most people would expect me to say, I'm going to go for Bruno Fernandes. I think that Erik ten Hag has completely revolutionized Bruno's play. He's become an extremely efficient passer. He's in the top three in the Premier League for key passes per game, big chances created. He's in the top five pressers in the Premier League. And we just see his energy for 90 minutes non-stop. And he's become an extremely effective player. While most people think he's taken a step back in goals and assists, I think he's taken multiple steps forward in all other aspects of his game. And he's one of the key reasons we're winning. Another aspect I want to touch upon is his leadership. Bruno has been a captain for us that I don't think I've seen in the last few years. And I feel like Manchester United has lacked a leader like Bruno. He's someone that's fierce throughout the game. He's someone that, when we're not doing well, steps up and takes up responsibility. And when we're winning, is more than happy to relinquish the success to other players. And I feel like we need someone like Bruno on the pitch. And we can simply see his effectiveness and what he does for United when he's on the field.
I think that's a huge, huge point over there, Zahan. I think Bruno has been, you know, everything we want a United captain to be. He plays game in, game out. I think he's only missed one game this season, if I'm not mistaken. And he's missed no games since the start of the World Cup. So it's really quite extraordinary what a player he is. And I, in my opinion, I think one player who really deserves a lot of praise and a fair amount of mention is Luke Shaw. You know, he's had a very difficult time at the club, where he came in around 2016-17, you know, at a very young age. And now he's evolved into not only an extraordinary left back, but also very versatile player in defense, as well as a very transitional midfielder in attack. So it's really great to see somebody like Luke Shaw really getting his flowers, you know, at the club. All right, so we'll just move on to our last question. There are so many things we want to address, and we'll look to do that in the next week's podcast, which is the importance of Carabao Cup, the new signings, what do we need in the summer, the ownership, etc. But we've got a big game coming tomorrow. We record on Saturday, so it's going to be tomorrow, which is Liverpool. It's probably the biggest game of the season for the fans, irrespective of where the clubs are. It is always, always an extraordinary game of football. Liverpool have a minor resurgence, but we still hold the cards. So what do you think is the scoreline going to be, and how would you preview that game? We'll start with Rusha.
Yeah, it is odd. I can't remember the last time we went to Anfield this confident. There was one game under Ollie where it ended 0-0, but it was really, that was the one other game where we really went into it confident. I think we'll get the win. I think our performances the last three games, Leicester, Barcelona, and West Ham, there's like, you know, Leicester, Barcelona, and the Carabao finals, and then if you add West Ham to that, haven't been very convincing, but we've got the job done in all of them. Hopefully, though, the rest that most of the first team got in the FA Cup game will be enough to, you know, rejuvenate them and get them back to performing, because we've been starting games a little slow. My prediction would be that I don't think Liverpool will score. I don't think, even though their attack is looking better and Salah is looking in good touch, I think we keep a clean sheet, and I think we'll take it maybe 2-0. I'll go 2-0. And I'll also just make a quick mention, because I think we have to mention him. Marcus Rashford will probably win the United Player of the Year, because it's a fan voted award. Regardless of whether or not he has been the best player, I don't know, but we do have to mention Marcus Rashford. But yes, 2-0 to United.
I'm glad you mentioned Rashford over there, and I hope he scores in front of the Kop tomorrow. It will really be a silver lining to his season, and will mark a real turnaround. I just want to quickly mention an extraordinary stat that Advet told me yesterday, which is when Licha and Casemiro and Varane have been on the pitch, United have not conceded a goal in open play, it blows my mind from where we were last time this season, and we got an absolute pasting at Anfield. So I'll move to you, Advait. If you can preview the game real quick for us, and what do you think the scoreline is going to be?
Yeah, honestly, I was blown away when I read that Casemiro, Varane and Licha have not conceded a goal from open play when playing together. We also don't realize that they've played just 8 games together because of Kase's suspension, Varane's injury problems, and Licha's post-World Cup party in Argentina. I understand that form usually goes out of the window when United go to Anfield or Liverpool come to Trafford, because that's just how big this game is. But it is hard to imagine United losing, honestly. However, the Anfield crowd is going to be buzzing. The players are going to be extra motivated. They're going to get that lift to fight for that top 4 spot, especially after their last 4 performances. And Liverpool played a very tidy game midweek versus Wolves, and they've been making steady progress in the league. My prediction is going to be 1-1, and it's going to be an extremely cagey affair.
I think that's a fair call, but I think the United pool games have been top tier always. The only thing and worthy of mention over here is that United and pool haven't been involved in a title race for a long time, and you can only imagine what it'll be for the fans of the two biggest clubs in England to actually have a title race. It's always been one team, at a better state in the season than the other. And this one feels much like the same, albeit in our favour. We would love to see a highly contested game, hopefully a title challenge or a title race next season. I'll move to you, Zahan, in terms of what you think of the game. Liverpool haven't conceded a goal in the Premier League for the last 4 games, but they did concede 5 against Real Madrid. They do have a right back in the name of Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's going up against the most informed left winger in the league. So how do you think that's going to turn out, and what are your predictions?
So as you said, Liverpool have not conceded a goal in their last 4 Premier League games. And I feel like in order to fix Liverpool's problem this season, Klopp is going the old cool dude of fixing the problems at the back first. And we've also seen Salah, Nunez and Gakpo sort of build some chemistry together to give Liverpool some good momentum. Having said that, because of what Erik ten Hag has done for United, I feel confident United is going to win in almost every game we go into this season. And touching up on what Advait said, regardless of the position both clubs are in, when Manchester United plays Liverpool, I feel like form is not a factor just because of how important the game is. Being away at Anfield, a place we haven't won at in years, I feel like despite United being far superior this season, it'll be a very even game. But due to Trent's struggles and hopefully Shaw will play, I feel like Man United will come up with a 2-1 win.
Thank you for that, Zahan. Yeah, I think it's, I really concur with your sentiment of going in positive into a game this big. I can't remember the last time I was this excited about a United-Liverpool game, especially when we go on top. And it is it's a great time to be United fans. There's so many things to talk about. We've got the Carabao Cup win. We've got, what happens because they're competing on all four fronts. We've got the potential of new ownership coming in. But we would, we'd probably bring that to you in the episodes to come, and we'll, dive in, into those things with statistical, with tactical, with strategic, and with some more general analysis as well. So I hope that everybody at home and all United fans enjoy tomorrow's game, and I hope that we really win. So it's a goodbye from the United Road for today. But we'll be back next week at the podcast destination of your choice. And thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate your time today.